think it is Tehillim, yeah.
All right, here we go. Zecharia Perkas. We've got Mo Dvar Hashem. Okay, so this is sort of like the masa, like sort of the burden that they have to take upon themselves. So Masa Dvar Hashem, the Eretz Chadroch Ben Amasim Menuchasoi, right, there's a land of Chadroch and Damasek, that's where he rests with Hashem, Ein Adam Mechol Shem Tei Yisrael. The eyes of man and all of Bnei Yisrael will always be toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them to see it. Vigam Chamas Tigboba, in Chamas, there are borders nearby. Tzorvitzidon, that are very, very wise. Here's the pshat. Here, we're trying to say that they're going to, Bnei Yisrael is going to be joined by everybody else in Klal Yisrael, and it's going to expand. The land of Yisrael is going to expand and go further and further and further, and the Shechina is going to go all the way out, all the way to the lands of Chadroch and Damascus. I do not know where Chadroch is, but Damascus is up north. Right, Tyre and Sidon, you're going to go through theirs as well. And during the times of Mashiach, that's what's going to happen. Park plus a gimel. Mativan Sor Matsor Law. Sor is going to make a stronghold, which is where Kesef Kapor, gathering silver like the dust. Bechoros Ketit Chutzos, and fine gold like the mud of the streets themselves. It adds Hashem Yorishan. Hashem will, Yorishan is take it away, give it away to others, right? But to other people, not to it. Vika B'yam Chela, all the wealth will go into the sea. That could be through an earthquake or a tsunami or whatever. Iva Ish Teyachel. And the city itself will be consumed by fire. The sea rising would be an easy way of that happening. Just taking all the stuff and grabbing it into the sea itself. Tera Ashkel and Matira. Ashkel will see that and will be afraid. But Gaza v'tachol ma'id. Gaza as well will tremble very much. Ekron kiyovish mitbato. Right? All of our expectations have now dried up by Ekron. Novel melach me'azo. Ashkel lo se'shed. There will be no king in Gaza and Ashkel. And they're going to be taken over completely. And that's the idea behind it. That it's going to be those people in the Plishim are going to be scared from what had happened up there. They're also on the sea. They're also right by the Mediterranean Sea. And if a tsunami could come by them, why could it happen to them themselves? The Yoshim Mamzer Ashdod. A Mamzer people will live in Ashdod. The Equatical and Plishim will cut off the pride of the Plishim. So some say that Mamzer is actually the name of the people themselves. Right? That's the idea behind it. You could use a separate area of Plishti people. They call themselves Mamzerim, but not literally they were Mamzerim. Others say that it literally refers to Mamzerim that separate themselves from the rest of the people because they couldn't marry the rest of Klal Yisrael. And those people will settle in the Plishti cities. They won't be part of the regular Eretz Yisrael because they're not like the rest of Eretz Yisrael. They're going to be right over there. Lased Lavo, Elio and Avi is supposed to come and tell us about certain Mamzerim that they're kosher. Certain ones he won't get into, and he won't tell us that this guy's a Mamzer. He won't say things like that. You always wondered who your dad was? Well, it's not your father. That Elio and Avi is never going to say. But they will take certain people and turn them clean again, and that's what it refers to over here by the Mamzer people itself. That's that. It could be also that it was the whole Plishti people, that they were Mamzerim because they were such Gaivitic people with all the terrible things they had. They were as if they were Mamzerim instead of being something like that.
Rashi intimated that they should be Jewish.
So in other words, there was Bnei Yisrael that was the what was it? Not the real Mamzerim, not that.
I don't think it was covered.
No, you're right. No, that's the fourth shot from Rashi, that they're not going to be the same way. No, you're 100% right. And that's that. When you're a cool thing though, Mamzer is only used twice in all Tanakh. One, that lo yavo mamzer b'kal Hashem, that they can't marry a Jewish woman. Right, and over here, regarding over here as well. Isn't that interesting, that the word mamzer only appears twice in all of Tanakh? I never would have thought that way. It's a good diss. You'd think that other people would have used it at some point, but they never did. It's that. Some people said the Plishim used to switch their wives with one another, so they literally were mamzerim. That's a possibility as well. Pasuk Zayin. I will remove the blood from his mouth. And all the disgusting things from between his teeth. And you will be there and remain for our God. Yehuda will be like a chieftain, like a leader in Yehuda. Ekron, Kibusi. And Ekron, like the Yehusim, that all of them are going to be like that. That all these people are going to be very, very cautious. That's the idea behind it. Anyway, they'll be taxed and whatever it is, however you want to put it over here. This refers to over here, Shikutsum Ben Shinov, is that all idolaters have evil speech and that their mouths have to be, you have to be careful of listening to what they have to say.
That's why you punch the Russia.
as much as you can. Hakesh, you know, Father Russia. But Khanisla based in Mitzvah, yeah, probably true. I won't camp around my house against any army there. May over me shall burn people coming and going, but there will be no more oppressors going through them. I've seen it with my own eyes. Be happy, O daughter of Zion. Hari Bas Yerushalayim. Call out, daughter of Yerushalayim. Your king is coming to you. Tzadik Benoshahu. He is a tzadik and a savior. Ani Baruch HaChamor. He's a poor man riding on a donkey. Val Ayer Ben Asinus. Upon a foal, the son of female donkey is over here. The tzidkus, the righteousness that he's going to do, is save us from the hands of Gog and Magog. That's what we're referring to over here. He's riding on a donkey, not because of a lack of money, but rather because he is purely humble. That's what it means. Not literally will be riding on a donkey, but it's as if he's riding on a donkey. He's going to be an unbelievable unof. That's what he refers to over here. It could be referring to that no longer will you ever have to worry about horses and chariots. Never will you have to worry about horses and chariots when it refers to going on, going to war. You'll need just a donkey. Nothing more than that. That's all you're going to be able to need, and that's that. There are other symbols over here. Humble riding is, even though bad things might happen in the future, he's going to take care of himself and there's not going to be any issue whatsoever. Have you noticed Gili Ma'od Basion? Sing, all daughters of Zion. That's strange. What about Kolisha? Where's Kolisha? Lost Lovo, Kolisha will never be a problem because ESR won't be an issue.
Lost Lovo, nothing is a problem.
I know, it'll be awesome. Right? And that's going to be it. For the woman's idea that the same way that they say that in the Beis HaMikdash, you don't have those, terrible thoughts, lascivious, right? Lascivious. You know how to pronounce it? I don't know how to pronounce it.
Whatever you're saying.
Spell it again.
Lascivious. Something like that. You don't know those thoughts anymore. Pasuk Yod. The Rati Rechem the Ephraim is from Yerushalayim. I'll cut off all the chariots from Ephraim and the horses from Yerushalayim. Right? The battle bow will be cut off completely. You'll no longer be bowing, you will no longer have to do that. The Dibur Shalom Lagayim will be peace among all the nations. Mashalom Yom Yom. No rule from one sea to the other. Only now right off the earth from the river until the other ends of the earth itself. Gam At Bedamri saith you, because the blood of your bris. Shilati Zerat Mibor. I've sent you out free from the pit. Ain my bow, the area where there is no water. What this refers to is, I sent you off from the pit where there's no water, and an era when there's no prophecy. I've taken you away from that era. Shuv Yitzaron, return to Hashem, your fortress, or the Torah. Asir HaTikva, those who are prisoners of hope. You know what means a prisoner of hope? They always imagine that in the future, Mashiach's going to come and things are going to work out all right. They just imagine, like everything's going to be fine. Those are called the Asir HaTikva. They're jailed with hope, that they have nothing else to think about. They know Mashiach's going to be here, Mashiach's going to be here. You hear these stories of the Holocaust where just like, Mashiach's going to take us out, Mashiach's going to take us out. And it obviously didn't work out that way. Regardless, those are the people with that type of hope, with that type of emunah and bitachon and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those are the people who are going to be saved. They're going to return. I will send you a double announcement. And what's the double announcement over here? So the double announcement could be that it's reference to number one, the Geula, number two, Kibbutz Galus, that you're going to Yerushalayim. It could also be, remember in Mitzrayim, there was Erech So it's possible that that's what they did back then, right? That was their bris back then, but nowadays it's for sure Torah. And if you protect yourself through Torah, then things are going to be okay. All those people who hoped for the, for the best from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because I have drawn Yehuda to me, Keshes Melezi Ephraim. I filled the bow of Ephraim and others for them to fight. I arouse all of your children, Sion, upon the children of Yavon, of Greece. And I made you like the sword of a warrior itself, making you able to fight, even though clearly these people did not know how to fight. Plus, Hashem will be seen above them. His arrow will go forth like lightning. He will blow on the horn. He will move in the storm wind of Teman itself, right? The storm wind that comes down from the south, right? That's how he's going to move through, and that's that. There'll be like a light that shows above their heads where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of Hashem. Hashem will shield them, meaning B'nai Yisrael. They will devour and knock down the slingshotted stones. They'll drink and rage with the wine that they're drinking. They'll fill it up in bowls. This is Mizbeach, like the corners of the Mizbeach itself. Okay, so that's the idea behind it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sure that the Greeks, right, possibly the Greeks of the actual, versus the Chashmonaim, are going to be destroyed over here. But of course, obviously this could refer to the future and whatever war we're going to have, slingshots are going to be caught. Now, let's think for a second. Missiles could easily be referred to the slingshots of back in the day, right? So if you had, you know, a type of program that would catch the slingshots in the air, right? Patriot missile, be able to knock it down before it hits you, that would be a key of this pasuk. That a Kodesh Baruch Hu will give you the ability to knock down this slingshotted stone. I don't know, maybe that's a
reversal. Rashi says, Sarot Teman is Ein Bnei Yavan.
I guess that could be. I have no argument on that. That's a possibility. It doesn't seem that way because Teman is usually down south. Anyway, God will save them on that day like a sheep, like a flock of his own people. Because there will be like the stones of the crown glittering on the soil itself. Yehuda and Ephraim are going to be like these crown jewels high above the ground, taking care of everything on the ground itself. How good they will be and how beautiful. Dagan Bakurim. Grain will allow the young men to go well. The Siros, you know, the Sulos. And the new wine will also flourish the young girls as well. It's going to be good. I mean, everything's going to be fine. You're going to have a lot of good stuff that everybody's going to have that will just keep increasing in number. Now, Zechariah Parak Yud. Shalom Hashem Motor Beis Makosh. Ask Hashem for rain in the times of the late rains. Hashem will make clouds. Right? Well, the Targashim and the rains on the ground, you tell them the Isha give to each man a Sabasada. At this time, all people are going to have to do in order to get rain is look up to Shemaim and you say, Kodesh Baruch Hu, can I have rain? And God responds immediately. Even if it's for a different type of rain than is usually in that season, than is usually normal in that season, nonetheless, it's still going to happen. Not only that, even if one man needs rain for just a single blade of grass, every man will get it. Even for one blade of grass, whatever rain is necessary for that person in that place, whatever they need, it's all going to happen. Plus it pays. Okay, I talked to Trump and people all that. You heard from these occultists. You know, the Trump and the oracles, they speak out lies. Kosu Makosu Shaker, all the magicians, the diviners, have seen lies. Their dreams are filled with garbage. Right? They're consoled with nothingness. Therefore, they travel like sheep. They're afflicted even though there is no shepherd whatsoever. Now, obviously, right, the idea behind it is that these oracles, these idols, are all liars and you can't listen to them. There's a famous fear in the Gemara where one part of the Gemara says that I will tell you in a dream, right? Erebo b'chalom is what it says in Bamidbar. You'll see it in a dream. On the other hand, over here it says chalom shavi deberu. The dreams speak out lies. So which one is it? So there were some Tanoim who mamish held that every dream was a lie. For example, Reb Meir is a classic example who held at all times there is nothing true about a dream. Even when he saw a dream that said go make peace with that guy, he said chalom shavi deberu. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not doing anything. He would not listen to a single word that his dreams would say. But the simple explanation from the Gemara is there are two types of dreams. There are dreams being given by Malachim, and there are dreams being given by Shadim. The Shadim type dreams, the demonic dreams, are called Chalom Shavi Daberu. But the real dreams, the Malachi dreams, are something different. When do they happen? So the fake dreams happen in the middle of the night. The good dreams happen right before morning. Now, we don't wake up at that time. We wake up a little bit later in the morning. So I don't know how that goes with us today. I don't know when would be considered middle of the night versus early morning dreams. Either way, I don't think we're on the level to get anything but demonic dreams. So I'm not so sure that matters anyway. But the line Chalom Shavi Daberu is actually a machlokes, how to be able to translate it.
So then why even bother saying like a prayer if you get a bad dream if it doesn't mean anything anyway?
It's only because you feel bad about it. Sometimes that sadness is mitzayeh. That's enough to be able to accomplish the dream through your sadness itself. So by saying all these things and making it better, so to speak, you're really assuaging your own fears, which are causing you to do something like a self-fulfilling prophecy, so to speak, right? We see it and you just happen to make it happen. That's really the reason why. But is there anything to it? Yes, it might be. Yes, it could be. But Rameer held no. Rameer held there's nothing in dreams. Dreams are nothing. Aloroin Harapi. My anger is roused not on the sheep. What's the sheep's fault? But on the shepherds. I'm going to remember it upon the big he-goats. Hashem is going to remember his flock, the house of Yudah, and he's going to make them like a horse. Banochamot, that they are majestic in battle itself. I'm not really angry at the people themselves. I'm angry at the leaders. How did the leaders allow such things to happen, he says.
Yeah,
how could that be over here? Yeah.
He's talking about the non-Jews.
Help me, what do you mean?
Rashi says, Al Ha'orim Chora Api, Al Machi Yavan.
That's another way of looking at it, meaning I don't blame the people of Yavon. I would think this is referring to the Jewish leaders.
I would have thought the Jewish leaders too.
The non-Jewish guy.
So how does it fit into the narrative?
No, it does fit in the narrative because what we're saying is right over here, they speak out Trump and they speak out lies. That could refer to the other nations. Now we're saying the people of the other nations, I don't blame. I blame the leaders. How could the leaders do that? Plus, Galo, look what it says. Mimena, Mimenu, Pina. From Yehuda will come the cornerstone. Mimenu Yosei. From Yehuda will come the peg. From him will be the bow of battle. Every taskmaster will be working together out of him. Who's him? Judah. Out of Judah. No longer will it take non-Jews and turn them into our workers and things like that. Everything that we need and everyone that we need will come from Bnei Yisrael themselves. From Bnei Yisrael proper. That's what's going to happen over here. Everything we need will come from them. There will be mighty warriors treading on the mud of the streets in war. They'll fight their battles because Hashem is with them. They'll shame the riders of the horses. I will strengthen the house of Judah and the house of Yosef. I will save Moshavtim, Kirichamtim, and I have Moshvosim. I'm sorry, Moshvosim. And I will bring them back, Kirichamtim, because I have mercy on them. I'll Yikasher Loz and Achtem. And because they, I never cast Naki and Hashem Alayim, that name, I will answer them and I will take care of them and I'll make sure that nothing bad will happen to them. But you can keep on Ephraim. On that day, Ephraim will be like a mighty warrior of Samach Levon Kamo Yayin. Their heart is going to rejoice as if they're drinking wine. Of Benam Yir Besamechu. Their children will see and be happy. Yago Levon Basham. They'll be very, very happy over the success that they had just had when fighting in battles. I'll whistle for them, like that. And I'll gather them in. Keep it easy because I redeemed them. The rubble come a rubble, and they're going to grow very, very, very great. One of the references over here is that we're now referring to what's going to happen by the times of Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach of Ephraim. That's why we keep mentioning Ephraim over here, based Yosef Oshia, referring to the actual Mashiach ben Yosef, who's going to wage war like a mighty man, but will in the end fall in battle. He's going to lose in battle itself. Lost of Lavo, after that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring Mashiach ben Yosef back to life through Tzchias HaMesim, and then he will exact vengeance upon the enemies of Bnei Yisrael, and he'll go through there as well. So in other words, we're saying the happiness that they had was temporary, because Mashiach ben Yosef is going to die, and it's going to be very, very difficult for them to be able to do. That's the idea behind it. Sheker, by the way, is a really weird word. Think about that for a second. Okay? If you, let's just say, I don't think we have to do it right now. I don't think we have to go into the whole idea of Ashrika. Let's finish that later. Mezra'im ba'amim, I will scatter them among the nations, and far away, they will remember me, the Chayu as B'nai Mashavu. They will live with their children and return. In other words, they'll make their children live. How do you make your children live? By teaching them Torah. They'll teach them Torah and they'll bring themselves back to where we are. The other line that we have over here, V'chayu espenam, means they lived with their children, that there will be no death. The Malach HaMavis is gone. Everybody's going to live, and there will be a huge multitude of people that will just grow and grow and grow. Of people coming to Yerushalayim, Vashivos and Eretz Mitzrayim, I'm going to bring them back from the land of Mitzrayim, I'll gather them from Assyria. They'll Eretz Gilad and Lebanon, I'll bring them to the land of Lebanon and the Gilad. But it won't be enough room for them. There won't be enough places for everybody to be able to go. It's going to be too hard to be able to gather everyone together. Finish off the parak. And though the sea will go through this affliction, and I will hit them with the waves of the sea, Hashem will strike those waves of the sea itself. I will bring down, all the depths of the river will dry up. Assyria, they will lose their pride, the rod of Mitzrayim, the rod of evil will all pass away. Everything will be gone. I'll strengthen them in that Kodesh Baruch Hu. They will walk in my name. New Hashem says, Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's how good it's going to be. It's going to be like they're fortified by everything that they need from me. Okay, Parak Yud Aleph. I did not get to do this, Parak. I'm sorting it together a little bit. Psach levanon duwa secha. What? Yeah. So open up your doors, Lebanon, so that the fire can consume your cedars. Remember, Lebanon was well known for the cedars that were in that land, in the Lebanon themselves, up in Lebanon. They were the ones who gave all the stuff for the first Beit HaMikdash. That was Hiram HaMasur, who was working through the Lebanon, bringing all the wood down to be able to help Bnei Yisrael build up the Beit HaMikdash itself. Now we're saying, let it all consume your cedars, because I mean, either it's the following. If it's referring to the Beit HaMikdash that was made by the people of Lebanon from all the wood of the Lebanon, they were saying, let the Romans come in to consume all the stuff that's inside there and let it destroy that second Beit HaMikdash.
Well, but, yeah, that's what I was thinking. That's the Gemara and what is it, Megillah, that was talks about how the second Beit HaMikdash was purposely built with wood.
That's a temporary type of thing, yeah.
So that it would collapse.
It would be able to collapse. That's not in Rosh Hashanah.
Okay, yeah.
Right? The king Darius II wanted wood there, so if he had to burn it down, he could easily burn it down.
And that's what Mysterious David says.
Oh, that's what he says right here?
Not that. It says, Anivuahi Namrah Furban Bais.
Very good. Very good. Hey, Leo Barosh, wail, O cypress tree. Kinefel Erez Asher Adirim, because the cedar has fallen, the one that was so strong. Shudadu, right? It's ravaged. Hey, Lilu, cry, Elon Ebashan, the oaks of Bashan, Kiyarad Ya'ar Habotzir. Because the fortified forest, right, is laid very, very low. So again, within that interpretation, the Navi here predicts the destruction of the second base of Mitzvah, etc. He says, figuratively, he says, cry, O cypress tree, because the cedar has fallen. That's going to happen by a strong wind, right? How in the world are you going to be able to take that? If the cedars are falling, says to the cypress trees, how in the world are you going to be able to take it? And that's what it refers to. When all the mighty people are going down, how are Bnei Yisrael going to be able to survive? Yilas Haroim. There is the wailing of the shepherds. Kishudito Adartam, because their glory is destroyed. Kol Shagas Kfirim. It's the noise of the wailing of the young lions. Kishudito Adartam, because the pride of the Jordan River is going to be completely destroyed. What do you have?
I think you might be missing a word.
What do I have? Habakir?
Kol.
Oh, you're right. Kol Yililas Haroim. What did you say, Kol Shagas Kfirim later on? What's
Yeah.
Just a mistake. That's pretty good. That's not bad, right? So you should know, by the way, by the Jordan River, that's where the lions used to live. The Asiatic lions. Not the big lions of Africa, but like small little lions that used to live right over there. They used to roar. And that's what it refers to over here. That was the voice that they heard. The Gaon of the Yarden, and the glory of the Jordan River over here. But obviously it's referring to the Avos and Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam when they're seeing all the terrible things that are happening to Klal Yisrael. So the Navi is saying, like, why are you not crying enough, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam? Why are you not crying enough, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? Trying to get all of them to be able to cry. David and Elisha, Eliyahu, Navi, and Shlomo, Melech. You guys should be crying to be able to help. That's what it refers to over here. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. Capture these flock, these flocks of sheep, as they get led out to slaughter. And that's a reference to Bnei Yisrael, obviously, in this time, right, that are having a hard time to be able to do what they needed to do. That's from Pasuk Dalet over here. Asher Konan Yargun, their buyers are killing them. And they are not held guilty whatsoever. Right? The sellers say, Baruch Hashem, Bashir, I will become rich now. Right? They have no pity on them whatsoever. Right? That's what it is. The seller, right, once he sells it, is like, oh man, a Jew is so unprofitable. Right? I'm glad I was at least able to get like a dollar for him. Right? That's what they end up saying to themselves, right? It's going to be terrible. Of course, anybody selling human beings is probably not a regular human being. I can't imagine that there's anything good about any of these people over here. But Kilo Echmo Oda Yoshe Ars Nu Mashem. I'm not going to have pity on the land, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and Ophi Mansias Adam Yisriad Reyu. I'm going to deliver every man into the hands of their friend to be Amalko and their king. The Itzu is Ars Lo Atom Yadam. Right?
they're going to cross the land, and I won't be able to save them from their hands, from their own hands, on what they're going to do. This is referring to what's happening in the second base of Mikdash. When there were kings fighting each other, Horkinus and Aristobulus comes to mind, right? Yerushalayim, Theon Amalka, and all these crazy kings, the Herodian kings that had gotten up afterward, where things were really, really bad for the Jews. And a reference to what's going to happen over there, they're going to smash each other and kill each other. The Erez Sonarega, I was pasturing the flock of my slaughter, Lachena Niyatzon, right? They're definitely the poorest of sheep. And I took two rods, okay? La'echot krosi Noam. One of them I called the word Noam. La'echot krosi Chovlin. And the other one I called Chovlin. Now, Noam is pleasant. And the other one is called destruction, the Eretz Atzon. And he used both of them to shepherd my sheep. Okay? That's the idea behind it. Now, why did he have to do such a thing? Meaning, I dealt with them gently and severely. I dealt with them as the circumstances allowed me to do. Sometimes I have to use pleasant ways, but other times I have to use severity, you know, midas adin, because it corrupted their ways and was nothing else I could do, so I needed both when it comes to stuff like that.
This narrative is pretty crazy because, like, the beginning of this sefer starts off by everybody's leaving Babel to go to Israel.
Not everyone, but yeah.
Some people are leaving to go to Israel to be part of this rebuilding process, and now he's saying, hey guys, it's going to be gone. And it's like, if I'm in Babel, like, we had that question, why would I leave? Why should I stop fasting? What should I stop fasting for? It seems strange. It's like,
maybe he's only telling it to the people who already are in Eretz Yisrael. He's not trying to convince them to leave in order to be destroyed. Tell them this is what's going to be. It's for you guys if you don't listen. That's an interesting call. But look what it says. I got rid of all three shepherds in the same month. I got disgusted by them. Right? And their soul abhorred me. This guy disgusted me. Now, this is a famous line over here. I got rid of all three leaders at once. Now, one interpretation is referring to Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. The problem is, it's not true. Miriam died on Yud Nisan. I think I got that right. Aaron HaKohen died on Rosh Chodesh Av. Moshe Rabbeinu died on Zayin Adar. They didn't die in the same month. What does that mean? We all know the answer. What did Miriam give Klal Yisrael in the Midbar?
Tzaras.
No. What did she give them?
Water.
Water. What did Aaron give them?
Food. Wow.
No, then in their couple. What did Moshe Rabbeinu give them?
Food.
They give them mud, right? When Miriam died, the water came back in the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu. When Aaron died, then in their couple came back in the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu. So when Moshe Rabbeinu died, it's as if they lost all three leaders at once, because the mud, the air, and the anunim were all lost at the exact same time. That's the idea behind it. Alright, there's a lot of other things over here. The three people that were lost at the same time could be referring to kings that were killed all at once, like Achav and Athaliah, and that's referred to, right? And that's the destruction over here, going through those types of things.
Right.
It could be it's referring to Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, and the prophecy that Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi were all going to die at around the same time. When they're gone, guess what?
Nebuah stops.
No more Nebuah. Everything is completely gone, right? Some say it refers to the sons of Yoshia, Yo'akaz, Yo'yakim, and Sikhiah. In 1 month, meaning in a brief period of time, not literally 1 month, all three shepherds, all three kings were removed themselves, right? That's that. Not Yo'yakim. Yo'yakim was a little bit different because Yo'yakim survived, right? But either way, that's that. It could be that it's referring to the three sons of Matisyahu, the Chashmonoi, right? The Kohen Gadol itself, that they ruled together for a few years. Yehuda Maccabee served the people for 6 years. Yonasan served for 16 years. And Shimon served for 8 years altogether. Right? That was 30 years that they served together. And that was what's considered a month of years. 30 years altogether. Okay? That's the idea behind it. So in other words, there's lots of stuff that could be figured out over here. And that's what refers to in all three. Okay. And then we did Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. He talks about that. Right? That is that. Okay. But Omar... Oh wow. You know what else it could refer to? Rabbi Yehuda Nasi.
Antoninus and Caravon, the king of Persia. All three were really good people, obviously Rabbi Danelsi. Rabbi Antoninus was great for the Jewish people, he was the Roman king, and then the king of Persia as well must have been good to the Jews at the time. They're all going to die in the same month, and that was really bad for the rest of Klal Yisrael. Bomar, lo erechem. Right? And I said, then I said, I will not be your shepherd. Hamesatumus, whatever dies, dies. Manechedes tikochet, whatever is to be removed, it'll be removed. And the rest, they'll eat each other. They're going to eat the flesh of one another itself. That refers to how bad it's going to be when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no longer protecting us or shielding us, and all of a sudden we're going to have to face the results of our own action. That test was Makli. I took my staff, Noam, a pleasant one. The egg dausa, I will snap it. To break my grit that I have made with all the people themselves. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to snap it in half as if there's nothing there whatsoever. I'm going to cause him to die. Yoshia is going to die and people will die in such a case over here. That's the idea of the pleasantness that refers to. Okay. That's the idea behind it. Some say that the rod of pleasantness is Zerubbabel and Nehemiah, who ended up building up the second base of Mikdash altogether. That's what it refers to over here. But too far, but oh, I guess that means that at the end, I'm going to make Nehemiah and Zerubbabel die. Okay, but too far, but Yomahu. Everything will be broken on that day. And the poorest of flock, they will know, Hashem Rosi, that watched me, right? They knew Kidvar Hashem Hu. They knew that this was the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that all these things were going to happen at that time, and this is what's going to be all together. Okay, Nunu. Ba'omar Lehem, in Tobei Nechem, help discovery. Then I said to them, if it's good in your eyes, give me my payment. Bimlo Chadogu, and if not, then let me go away. And they gave me 30 silver pieces. Okay, so what's it referring to over here? It refers to I get it. This refers to I say to them, if it's good in your eyes, give me my schar. Okay, said referring to schar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let me have a little bit of schar and you give me 30 shekel kesef, right, as his payment. 30 shekel kesef refers to 30 tzaddikim. They're around at all times. They're allowed to. A lot of Vodniks, right? That's what we all call it. Right? It's based on the Gemara. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says there are actually 30, not 36. And some Gemara say, in one part of the Gemara, it says 30 in Eretz Yisrael, 30 in Chutz Laaretz. That's what we refer to over there. But that's that. Who were these 30 righteous men that were living at that time? Well, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Mordechai, Yirmiah, Yechezkel, Tzfaniah, right? Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi. There were many good people that were around at that time. Those are the people. Yom Shemelai. Eder, throw it into the treasury, throw it into the treasury itself, to the Creator, back to Hashem. Eder Hayakor, the very precious coat, Asher Karti Me'alayim, that was worth to them. And I took that 30 and I threw it back into, right, this is referring to the Navi itself, gave it back to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. According to Parvanel, this refers to the sons of Machim, that they served us, and then afterward they went back to their creator, that they died right afterward. It could be referring to other things as well. Okay, that's that. What else do we have? But Egdas Makli Asheni, and then I snapped my second Makil as a Chofim, the one that was destruction. Mahafer the Achla ben Yehuda ben Yisrael, that destroyed the brotherhood between ben Yisrael and ben Yehuda. You see, here's the shot. Whenever Jews are like downtrodden and destroyed, whatever it is, what do? We come together, right? Mizrahi, Haredi, everybody gets together and everybody's perfectly fine. What happens when there's no pain and everybody's doing well?
Everybody hates each other.
You have to snap the rod of destruction in order to bring Klal Yisrael together. Lahafir as the Achba bin Yehuda bin Yisrael. To destroy the Achba between Yehuda and Yisrael. Egdas Machwe Hashem Yisachovam. I took away Yisurin, because Yisurin was bringing them together. Thus, I was making them become more evil and not like each other. Because sometimes we're better when things go badly. Take for yourself the implements of a very foolish shepherd itself. Right? Now, the analogy is based on a shepherd's sack where he keeps his food. A weird shepherd, you know, a guy who's a really bad person, doesn't make sure that the bag has no holes, right? So when he takes the bag and has holes in it, he loses all of his food. So what does he do? He gets so angry when he gets out there. He's like, where's my food? Starts striking out at the sheep because he doesn't have it, right? So that's what it refers to over here. So Hashem said, take for yourself, referring to the Hashmonaim king, they're going to have these kings that are just going to get angry for nothing and not explain themselves and not explain what they're doing or why they're doing it. That's what's going to happen over here. Can I make him? Roe Ba'aretz. I'm going to bring up a shepherd in the land, and Yechadus, Lo Yitgod. He will not take care of those who are removed. Hanar Lo Yivakesh. He doesn't look for the young one. Vanishbarz Lo Yirapi. He won't heal the things that are broken. Yitzava Lo Yichalko. He won't give Parnasa to those that are standing. Sarabriya Yochal Parsani Farek. The flesh of the healthy one he will eat, and he will break up their hooves themselves. Referring to is this guy, right? He's going to use his shepherd staff to break the hooves of the sheep, right? So that they can't meander, they can't go anywhere, they'll be off to stay wherever they are. What that means too is all the deeds that Herod did to all the subjects are going to be so bad it's going to break them. Hoy roi ha'alil, woe, my worthless shepherd. Ozvi atzon, who forsakes his flock. Sarah Valzroo, his sword is upon his arm. Val'ein yamino, and upon his right eye. Zro yavosh tivosh, his arm will dry up. Ve'ein yamino ko'otifeh, and his right eye will become darkened. That's what's going to happen to certain kings. Sithi obviously was blinded, but I don't know if this is referring to him. We don't see that he ever went lame in his arm, right? But it could be there's somebody else, some other king that went bad because of that. And that's the end of Parak Yud Aleph. All right, we're going back. It's going to be good now, okay? Don't worry. Mashiach is coming. Everything's going to be happy. Look what happens. Parak Yud Beis. This is the prophecy that Hashem said about Yisrael, says God. No Tishrei Yisrael, right? He is the one who stretches out the heavens and founds the land. And forms the spirit, right? Forms the spirit of man within them himself. Okay? So this is going to refer to all the people that are going to fight against Bnei Yisrael and how bad it's going to be. Now, this idea of Yotzer Ruach Adam Bekirbo is used in our line Asher Yotzar Es Adam Mechachma. That's the line that we use when we go into stuff like that. It's all based on this idea of Yotzer Ruach Adam Bekirbo, that he creates the Ruach within him. That's what it refers to over here. Okay, that is that. I'm going to make Yerushalayim a bowl of poison to all the nations around it. They're going to eat from it, they're going to take the spoils from it, and it's going to kill them. Says Kadosh Baruch Hu. Not that the people are evil, not that the people are going to be destroyed, no, the people who eat from it are going to be destroyed. And Yehuda will also be in a siege against Yerushalayim itself. That's how bad the invaders are going to disappear, they're going to be destroyed. That's how bad it's going to be over here. First, we're talking about the siege of Yerushalayim itself. The nations will say, right, once Yerushalayim falls, all of our Israel is going to be in our reach, and we'll be able to get it, and that's what's going to happen over here. Chazal say that the bowl of poison also refers to the future. They'll drink a poisoned cup of blood that will take them down, and they're going to go through. Some say it refers to Gog. Gog is davening that he doesn't die. He feels himself going down, and he davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, please Hashem, he already killed Mashiach ben Yosef, please Hashem, let me live. On that day, I'll make Yerushalayim a burden stone for all the people. All the people that burdened it, that did something wrong, will be injured. And all the nations of the world will come near it. That's what's going to happen over here. Now, we're going to see, this takes time. The poison is not going to be an immediate poison. It's going to get into the bloodstream, and it's going to knock the nations down little by little by little. It's going to take a while for it to go. I'm going to knock down all horses with panic. And the riders with madness. And upon the house of Judah, I will open up my eyes. And I will strike every horse with blindness. This refers to the war horses that are going against their soul. Hashem's going to take care of them and make sure that they have no problems. And it will be, they'll just forget. You know, there's battle strategies when you have armies and whatever and stuff like that, right? There's effective fighters. They're not going to have that at all. They're just going to ride around like little madmen, not knowing where to go or what to do or anything like that. They're going to be all over the place. Plus, okay. The heads of Judah will say to themselves, I'm Sali Yosha Yerushalayim Vashem Tzva Kozalayim. I will have strength, right? O dwellers of Yerushalayim, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's try to do it together. They're going to be stricken while everybody's going to take heart. Hashem's with us. Let's go. Let's fight them right now. Pasuk Vav. On that day, I'm going to make the leaders of Yehuda like a hearth of fire among the trees, and like a big flame of fire among the trees. And it will consume on the right and the left all the nations around them. And Yerushalayim will dwell again in her proper place in Yerushalayim. Now, what does that mean? Yerushalayim will dwell in Yerushalayim. Where else is it going to go? Is Yerushalayim Shalamala? Yerushalayim Shalamata. Yerushalayim Shalamata is our
Jerusalem, Shnei Shlamala is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yerushalayim with its own basin mikdash, so to speak. That's going to come down, and that basin mikdash is going to take over. That's what's going to happen back in that time. That's what he refers to. Moshe Hashem is Alu Yehuda Barishona. Hashem will give delivery. He'll save all the tents of Yehuda first. Lonan will Sigdal Tzveres Beis David. Said the glory, the house of David will be there. Tzveres Yoshev Yerushalayim Al Yehuda. It won't be magnified over what the rest of Yehuda has. Yerushalayim will come first, but everybody will be involved and it will be good. Everybody's going to be coerced into fighting this battle. And that Hashem will protect the people that live in Yerushalayim. Those who trip up on that day, the feeble of them, will be as strong as David HaMelech. And the house of David will be like gods. Like a Malach is going above them. They're going to be able to fight like monsters when they're going to be able to fight over here. That Barbanel says refers to Mashiach ben Yosef. Mashiach ben Yosef, you know we're talking about David HaMelech, it's referring to him. On that day, when he goes through, right, I'm going to try to destroy all the nations that are coming upon Yerushalayim, referring to the people who go up against Mashiach ben Yosef and what happens over here. That's what it refers to, going up against their list and everything. Yeah, we're on Yud. So check it out. So now, plus of Yud. So again, the line over here, on that day, I'm going to search to try to destroy all the nations that are coming up against Yerushalayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu again. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to list all the good and bad deeds altogether. Either if they do good, then they won't be harmed. But if not, he's going to annihilate them. He's going to destroy them completely. Plus of Yud. I'm going to pour over the house of David and upon all the those people who live in Yerushalayim, some type of chen, the sachanunim, some type of grace, and some type of entreaty that they'll have. They be to Elias, Asher Dekaru. They're going to look to me around those who are already pierced with saftul love, and they're going to lament over them. Can be sped only yachid, like somebody who laments over an only son. Bahamer love, kahamer al bechor. And they will be bitter over him, like one is bitter over a firstborn. So again, what's the pshat? All of this is referring to Mashiach ben Yosef. Again, it's weird that it's referring to Beis David and Yosef Yerushalayim when referring to Mashiach ben Yosef. You'd think it's referring to Mashiach ben David. Because I'll learn from here that Mashiach ben Yosef is going to be killed. They beat to Eli, they're going to show me the one who was pierced, and they'll give a hesped for him, like a misbeit al yachid, like one should lament an only son, an only child. And they're going to be bitter, like one is bitter over a bechor itself. Bayomahu, on that day, Yigdal ha-misbeit Yerushalayim to misbeit Hadad Rimon, the Bikas Megiddo. On that day, the Hesped in Yerushalayim will be as great as the Hesped of Hadad Rimon in the valley of Megiddo. That's what's going to happen over here. Now, that's a little bit of a strange line. The Gemara immediately catches it and says, what's going on here? Hadad Rimon was not buried in the valley of Megiddo. What does that mean over here? So, the Targum translates it like this. Okay? It says, because I'll say they will lament the same way that they lamented Achav Bar Amri, who was killed by Hadar Rimon of Tav Rimon at Ramos Gilad, and like the lament that they had by King Yoshia, who was killed by Paro Necho in the Valley of Megiddo. You take those two Hespedim, which were huge Hespedim for kings that were killed, you combine them together, then all of a sudden, that's going to make something great. A huge Hesped that worked for everybody out there, right? So that's the reference over here, when we how great it's going to be, the lamentation for Mashiach ben Yosef. And the land will lament with families apart from one another. The mishpacha of Beis David by itself and the woman by themselves. The family of Nathan, of Nasan, Hanavi, and Mishayim, their woman apart themselves as well. So there's all the tzniyas of the woman, you know, sitting separately from the men. That's one thing. Who Nasan is, that's a bit of a kasha. I said Nasan Hanavi, the famous one from David. I don't know of another Nelson. I'm not so sure there is another Nelson that we know about. Nelson Ben David? That's what it says?
This is what Rashi says. Rashi says, there's Nelson Hanavi. We are showing Nelson Ben David.
Who is Nelson Ben David?
Right, maybe there's somebody that we just don't know about. But Mishpachas Beis,
it quotes Shmuel Beis, Shamua Shovav Ben Nelson Ushlomo.
That's so weird. So why was Nelson separated from everybody else? The house of David and the house of Nelson. It's not like, you know, it's not like the what's it called came from there. That all the future kings came from there. All right, Mishpachas Beis, Levi Levon and Hashem Levon, the houses of Levi by themselves and their wives. Shachas Shimi Levon and Hashem Levon, and so to Shimi. Shimi could refer to Shimon, refer to Shamua Ben David. It could refer to Shimi Ben Gera. Kol Mishpachas and Yisharos Mishpachas and Mishpachas Levon and Hashem Levon. All the other families apart from one another, they're going to be apart. Their wives are going to be apart from one another. That's what's going to happen over here. That's how fine, how much they're going to cry over what had happened over here. That's the idea behind it. Okay, we're up to Parak Yud Gimel. How much time do we have?
Just 8 minutes.
I don't think he's going to come back. All right, so let's go. Parak Yud Gimel Pasuk Aleph. We can do this. Plus it's only 10 psukim altogether. Let's do 9 psukim. Let's see what we can do. And that day there's going to be a fountain open to David HaMelech, the house of David HaMelech, and those who live in Yerushalayim. It will be for purging and cleansing altogether. Now, here's the kasha. Is this like a river, an actual spring that's going to open them up, that's going to cleanse them of all their impurities? Is that referred to over here? It will give them an atonement, a kapara for all of their sins altogether. Is it some other kapara that we're referring to? Not literally a mikvah, but something that is, if would be, something like that? Or is referring to lachatzas lenida, that the water will be opened up that they can use for the paraduma ashes, because you got to mix water with the paraduma ashes, and to purify the women who are nidos. Does that refer to over here? So now, will get rid of all the names of the gods, the idols from the land. Nobody will remember them anymore. I'll take away the false prophets and the ruach tuma from the land. When a person will prophesy again falsely, his father and his mother, those who gave birth to him, will say to him, you shouldn't live. He's speaking out lies in the name of God. Even the parents of the false navi will want to kill him. And they will pierce him, his father and his mother, those who gave birth to him, as he prophesies themselves. That's what they end up doing. They'll say that. On that day, right, all the Nevi'im will be embarrassed, each person, from their vision, so when they prophesy, and they'll not wear the hairy mantle, the hairy cloak. The hairy cloak is apparently something that was a very nice kush of a clothing that people would wear in order to show themselves as prophets, and thereby deceive and thereby lie to other people. Now, people are going to tell the difference when a person is a false prophet versus a real prophet. They'll be able to tell. He's going to say, I'm not a prophet. I'm really a farmer. A guy bestowed it upon me from when I was younger. When I was younger, a guy came up to me and said, oh, you could be a false prophet, and gave me all the powers, and I did what I was going to do in order to become rich, but I knew this is never going to last. And people say to him, what are these hits between your hands? It looks like you smacked yourself. Oh, my friends did this. Because I was prophesying falsely, my parents and everybody else, they did corporal punishments because of the bad things that I did when I was younger and everything like that. And that's that. Some say he welcomes the punishment because he himself knew that he was a false prophet and he wanted to take care of himself. And that's the idea behind it. Cherev, right? Oh, the sword, Uriel Roi, awaken yourself against, rise up against my shepherd, Mal Gevra Misi, and the man of my nation, who Hashem Tzvakos. Hachat the Rosh, who sent out saying, right? Hit the shepherd, scatter the Jirash, who's the Adiyah, to Oirin. And then I will return my hand against the young men that are there. Some say that it's referring to Bavel, the shepherd. Some say it's referring to the king of Bnei Yisrael, who was doing something wrong. Some say it's referring to Edom. Either way, the young men were referring to the princes. It says in Pasuk Chatz, V'yabachol ha'orth v'mashem pishnayim v'yikorsu yigavu. It will come to pass throughout the land that 2/3 of the land will be cut off and die. V'ashlish is yivaservo. 1/3 will remain. There's going to be either a great plague, or there's going to be a crazy, crazy war, or there's going to be an earthquake, and 2/3 of the world will die. And only 1/3 will remain at the very end. Some say that it's the Jewish people that will remain in the end because they have the 3 avos on their side. And that's what it means. There will be only the shlishis, the sons of the 3.
referring to us, because we're the sons of all three. Yishmael won't survive, Edom won't survive, right? Only us will be the only ones that are going to survive over here. Some say it refers to the Shlishis, the third redemption, is going to survive. Others say it refers to shame, out of Chaman Yafes, the third will survive. But either way, Reish Lakish says something scary. A third of the Jews will survive. Two-thirds of the Jews will die, and a third of the Jews. I will bring that third into the fire. I will refine them like one does silver. And I will test it the way one does to gold. Who yikra bishmi? He, right, I guess that, will call out my name. There's a little psik there. Do you see by the word who? Right before who yikra bishmi, there's like a little line. There should be. See it? You got it right there. Who yikra bishmi? Bani and also, and I will answer him. Marti amihu. I said it is my nation. And he will say, yeah, Hakadosh Baruch Hu is my God. This is referring to the terrible, terrible times that it's going to be by interest of Mashiach, right? Where I'm going to bring a third into the fire. I'm going to refine them. They're going to have to go through the fire. They're going to have to stand through their faith and suffer, right? Even though many will revert back to a bad condition. Things will go really badly for them. That's the idea behind it. That there's going to be some gullies out there. But B'nai Yisrael, who are able to do it, he will call upon my name. That only B'nai Yisrael will call upon it. And there will be certain people in B'nai Yisrael that will do it. Nobody else will be included. And there will be the last ones. And anyone who does so is going to be saved. And those who don't, unfortunately, will be not. That's scary. The crazy thing about this, a third of our nation was destroyed in the Holocaust. If you have a number, which is possible, it might be a little bit more of that, but you have 6 million people that died in the Holocaust, 6 million people who were the Jews in Europe, right? To say that there were 15 million Jews or 13, 14 million Jews at the time and throughout the entire world would make a little bit of sense. To lose 6 million is about a third of them. They would have been gone. They would have been destroyed. It's a possibility that that's a scary thing, but at the end of the day, I'll bring a third into the fire. I will refine that third. But that's that. Now, we say over here that a third of them survived. That would mean that there were 9 million Jews at the time of the Holocaust. 6 million died and 3 million survived. I don't know if that's true, if there were 9 million Jews that were alive. Does that make sense? The numbers work that way?
Probably would have been more, there were 18 million.
Well, hopefully it didn't all happen. Yeah, there were 18 million at the time. So hopefully this doesn't have to happen.
All of the world.
In all of the world. All right, that brings up to...
Jews are like...
Now we'll stop with this.